Many of you know that recently two people we've been contending and praying for as church have died. One of them being, of course, Chris Brewer. Despite our prayers and fasting, despite the fact that they outlived the initial medical prognosis, and in one case, Stephen was definitely getting better, it was not to be. They died despite our desire to have them still with us. Sorry, that's for later. Thank you. At a time like this, St. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 have such a resonance because, at least for me, they describe exactly how I feel. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You see, we are perplexed. We're disappointed. We would have Chris Brewer still with us. We would have Stephen Mitchell still with us. None of us want to lose people we love and esteem. And Chris Brewer was a real blessing to me and to the church here in the 4 years she shared her curacy with us. Yet we are not crushed or in despair. Why not? Because we know that those who have died live on. Not on earth, but in the Father's presence. Indeed, to quote Paul again from our epistle, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." But, that's the most wonderful but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Jesus did rise again. He's here through his Spirit even now with us. And we who know and have received the Holy Spirit know that there is life beyond the five empirical senses, because we know and sense his presence. We hear him. In this life, we have experienced God and continue to taste of his supernatural life. So why shouldn't we believe that there is supernatural life in the here and now as well as in the hereafter? Those who've died have simply gone to a better place. And though we miss them terribly, we have the comfort that one day we shall see them again. We shall be reunited with them. But was it pointless to pray for them when they were sick? Was our gathering, and we gathered here over 3 nights to pray and fast, futile? Because of some have said to me, it was God's will that they be sick. It was God's will that they die. Now I acknowledge we do live in a fallen world of sin, and death is our common lot, the end to which we all move. But we need to know and stand for the truth, which is it's not God's will that people be sick. It's not God's will that people die. The first Adam, through that succumbing to temptation, brought the fall about. But God's intention was for us, for humankind, to live in harmony with him in the garden. We've accepted the lie of the enemy who Adam surrendered authority to. We've accepted the lie of the enemy that sickness and death is God's will. But that is not what Jesus taught or demonstrated. You see, Jesus taught that God is good. And he works wonders, even when at times we don't find that he doesn't meet the particular answer that we are looking for. Take a look at our gospel reading again. And if you've got that to hand, Maureen, put it up. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. We're looking for the gospel reading. Yeah, that's fine. Just leave it there. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Just leave it there, please. Was it only a few who were healed? No. Was it a slender majority, just 50 plus 1% who were healed? No. It was all of them. That great multitude who turned out in thousands to see Jesus because he healed everyone. And remember the feeding of the miracles. He fed 5,000, 7,000, besides women and children. Great crowds. This were in days when there were no cars, simply donkey or foot. And yet they traveled out because he was the one who brought hope. He was the one who brought healing when there was no other way. And not only did he heal everyone, he raised the dead too. We know of at least three resurrections. Lazarus, the son of the widow of Nain, the young girl he raised with those words, Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, arise. Are these the actions of a God who wants us sick? I don't think so. Who wants us dead? No, Jesus was about life. Life in abundance, now and afterwards in heaven. And when we acknowledge our poverty of heart, our utter lack, our bankruptcy before God, he opens up the kingdom of heaven to all of us in love. When we yearn for him and all he represents, he gives himself to us to fill us. That was one of the words we had in the worship. He says, turn to me, and I will fill you. When we share our sorrow with him, he reminds us that ultimately all will be well with our souls. All he requires of us to receive him is that we trust in him. Will you trust in him, however adverse the circumstances you find yourselves in? Will you turn away from the source of love? Doubt his goodness when your earnest prayers seem to be unanswered in human terms, when your loved one suffers or dies. I don't know if it's possible, but maybe we could show the Jeremiah 17 reading. It means going back. Sorry, I'm putting you through the mill on the overhead today. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Just leave it there. Jeremiah 17 says the Lord gives us a choice. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. And God's just describing what it's like when we turn away from him. When we reach those bad patches in life's journey, it will be like being a shrub in the desert. Well, you know what the desert is like. It's painfully hot, arid, dry, and you're this shrub desperate, desperate for relief, for water that brings life and growth. And he says it's even worse. It'll be like the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. So even the very ground is poisonous. Because there's too much salt in it. And so the shrub representing you will be stunted because it's not receiving the right nutrients. He gives us a choice. Or do you want to live? And this means you live under the spirit of disappointment. Oh, he didn't turn up when I asked him to turn up. I'm never going to ask him again. Do you want to live in that continuous, dry, empty place, which is characterized by a lack of expectation about the God of miracles? Do you want to be exactly like your neighbor next door, who doesn't profess to be a Christian, But you've got the same level of faith that they have. Because they don't expect anything. They don't believe in God. But you don't believe your God will turn up or answer your prayers. So you're just exactly like the neighbor next door. They've got the excuse. They don't believe. Do you only want what makes sense? It's rational to modern mind. What makes sense to your mind? Do you only expect what the world says is normal? Because you don't want to be abnormal, out of the ordinary, supernatural. Well, our God is a supernatural God, and he does supernatural things. There's no point being here if you don't expect the supernatural, because that's what he's all about. And so he gives us a choice. Can we have the next pages, please? He says, blessed are those whose trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. I.e., not trusting in the Lord alone. Your trust is the Lord. You're one with him. You've decided. You're yoking yourself to him, come what may. The bad things as well as the good things in life, you are going to be one with him. And he says, they shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Do you hear what Jeremiah is saying? Go back to the other one, please. Let's leave it there. The tree is going to experience some trouble, he's saying. Times of extreme heat. Well, we've had a few summers like that, where even the oak trees almost seem to be wilting because of the heat. Times of drought, but they did not cease to bear fruit. God is saying that there will be times of adversity, but he promises that you will remain fruitful, that you will survive, that you will get through, because you are planted in the water of his Spirit. You are that river someone spoke about earlier. And he wants you to be kept, join the flow of the river. And therefore, in times of adversity, you will remain fruitful. And what is that fruit? I was delighted when I think it was Nikki, somebody spelt it out. Jesus spelt it out himself at the end of Mark's gospel. And of course, it came through the Spirit at Pentecost to everyone. These signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus wants us to be transformed into his likeness. He did all those things. And he's saying, that's for you, church. My disciples, my followers. That's the fruitfulness I want you to bear with your lives. Our God is good. He's a God of miracles, even when we don't see them, when we pray at times. But our prayers rise before him like incense, and they have effect if we had but eyes to see them. We may not get the answers we immediately want or desire. Because our desire is that Chris Brewer would come here and stand and give testimony. But she's in a better place. She is in a better place. Do we believe that? He's the God who's raised her now to stand in his presence. Are we willing to believe God is good and a God of miracles who remains the same always? We're just going to have a clip now. This is where we hopefully get the clip on, because this is how some others have reacted to bad news.
My wife and I, we lost our son, as many of you know, back in December. While we were believing for a miracle, things didn't quite turn out how we had expected. But for us, the journey ahead of us was, can we still proclaim the truth that God is our healer, that God is the God who raises the dead, that God is good. And so as we continued on from losing our son, it was really important for us to keep the truth of who God is in front of us. So we started writing songs, and this song is about God's miracle power. And for us, it's really important to proclaim that, even though we didn't quite see what we had expected and what we were praying for, but we still know that that's true. I know many of you guys were on that journey with us. So for me, it feels like this song is sort of a victory for all of us. These are your songs too, so. I think so often as believers we want to blame God suddenly when something goes wrong. But the truth is, God's good, God's faithful, and just because our circumstances change doesn't mean those truths don't change. God is the God of miracles.
Does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole.
It's just really was important to remind ourselves who God is. And yeah, I mean, that's so much of worship, isn't it? It's oftentimes us reminding who we are in God and who God is. And so for us, this song was huge, and just keeping us anchored in that truth that God is good, and He is the miracle God of the Bible, and He remains the same always.
God of miracles,
come on, sing it.
The God
believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
And as we stand, as that finishes, I just want you to hold out your hand for yourself, for someone else. Maybe it's for a repair to a relationship. Because it doesn't just heal physically. It heals mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And so just hold out your hands and receive from the God of miracles. Abba, you promised. And you keep your promises. You are the way maker, the promise keeper. And your promise is to heal your children. Your promise is to bring restoration and life. And so as your children hold out their hands, Lord, just bless. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill their hands and fill their spirits with what they need. Bring healing and restoration. Bring transformation. Because Jesus, you healed everyone. You touched everyone. And we stand on your testimony and your goodness. So really just release, and I release the authority of God over you. And I release favor and mercy and freedom in your spirit as well as healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.